I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge Podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester with Mike Tagliere. We've got a DFS episode for you today. Tag's ready to get dominated again this week on draft.com.
I don't know, Bobby. It's a week where I feel like I've gotten a jump start in the week. I've been like legitimately at my computer like all day, every day, trying to get things right and like get a grip on this slate. And I feel like I've done a good job with that. It's one of those weeks where, you know, where you just feel really, really good. Like you know what you're doing. You know how to attack it. It's just putting all the pieces in the right order, which is what we're going to try and figure out today.
Yeah, it wasn't really domination anyway. I mean, you had the injury and everything, so I got a little bit lucky. We are going to do another head-to-head contest in a really unique competition that draft.com offers. You guys have not seen this before, and it's really cool. But first, we're joined by guest Doug Norrie of DFSR.com to chat about this week's FanDuel and DraftKings slate. Hey, Doug.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I'm excited to talk some football.
So what we've been doing lately, for those of you who haven't been tuning in, we switched it up, so now we're going cash games first, and then GPP contests later. Those are the big prize tournaments. So, you know, only 20% win in those contests. But the one that gets the very top prize, man, they turn like $7 into $400,000. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to start with cash games. And cash games, you just want someone who's reliable, someone who's consistent in a good matchup. You know they're not going to flop. I've made plenty of bad decisions there before. But, you know, if you're smart about this, I think you can, you know, you've got a 50% chance to double up. And if you're smart, that moves to what, 60, 65%?
That's the idea, is like, you know, when if those of you listening out there, and I've gotten messages on Twitter, so I do want to address this for a quick second. Maybe we should have done it earlier in the year, but when we talk about cash game plays, that's what we're referring to. The head-to-head contests, the 50-50s, the double ups. This is meant to be a major portion of your DFS play. If you want to play more volume, what you want to do is establish, like, earn your bankroll through your cash games. That's where you want to play most of your money. So what you want to do is you want to start using those cash game earnings to fund your tournament play. And that's obviously the ones where you're not going to win cash every single week in tournament play. It's just not going to happen. That's not the way it works. But cash games are meant to be finding the best value, not necessarily the best plays in the board, because you can't ever afford to put all those guys in there, but finding the best bang for your buck, the guys who can hit two and a half times value in cash games. And what I mean by that is if there's a player that's on the board for $5,000, essentially, if he hits 12 and a half points for you on DraftKings, that's basically all you need out of a cash game lineup. So again, it's just shooting for those safe plays with the high floors and hopefully a high ceiling. So I just wanted to distinguish that a little bit because I've had a few people ask me about it.
That's good. Yeah. So Doug, you have a lot of cool metrics and everything that you use. So when you're looking for cash game plays, like what are a few of the things that go into it for you?
Yeah, for sure. We want to use players that are like pretty consistent on a week to week basis. And there's some easy ways to figure that out. You want to, some of the things are obvious, right? Football's a pretty public sport. So a lot of these things are, you know, you want looking for good matchups for teams with high totals, game scripts that are going to go in their favor. And then, you know, at the end of it, just making sure that the opportunity is there and you have some consistency markers that make it so that you're not really trying to shoot for peaks and valleys in cash games. You're just looking for steady performance. And there's definitely some football, we can talk about some of these guys later on, but there's definitely players that fit different kind of profiles on a week to week basis of what, you know, what you're looking to get from them. And some strike really the numbers as being safer cash games and others are the complete opposite. So it's just really kind of the combination of those things. And, you know, football, like I said, is a public sport. Most people are going to understand at least those basic concepts to start.
So we mentioned on last show that, you know, we've got a few bye weeks going on, but it's a bunch of crummy teams. So we have a lot of really good players going this week. We'll start at the quarterback position and talk about cash games. And, you know, usually there's one or two guys who really stand out from the pack. I don't think that's necessarily the case this week. It's not that there's a bunch of bad plays and like we're in big trouble having to pick one of these guys. It's just, you know, there's four or five guys who are all in the same, you know, they're all in consideration. I can't really distinguish between them. So we'll let you go first here, Doug. Who's your favorite one or two cash game plays of the week?
Quarterback, it's interesting. I think you're going to want to spend up a quarterback this week. That kind of goes back and forth depending on the week. There's been some weeks where it's been a find to kind of take some cheaper value, especially on DraftKings where the pricing is a little spread. So, but I don't think that's the case this week. I really like Alex Smith. It's not a sexy pick.
Me too.
It's not a sexy pick at all. And he's, you know, not the most exciting quarterback to watch, but he has been pretty consistent this season. It's really the matchup here. So like if all things are going to be equal and you think a lot of these guys are going to be the same, I actually kind of do think this about this top group of guys. Smith has, I mean, the Giants have been completely brutalized through the air, right? Like they have, they've allowed like career games to just about everyone they played recently. Like CJ Batard looked great against them. and so I think, you know, Smith brings in a consistency. He can run a little bit. I've been on the podcast before and talked about how much we value running quarterbacks more than just some pocket passers, just because the amount of points you can make up on the ground is pretty significant for some of these guys. Smith isn't in the top tier there, but he does run enough. So, and the fact that he's just coming, I mean, I think on FanDuel, he's like this eighth or ninth most expensive guy. It's a little, not as played as Stark on DraftKings. So anyway, yeah, I think it's going to be Smith for me. I'm not 100% sold on it, but if I were to put a lineup in right now for the main slate, he'd be the guy I'd slot in there.
Me too. And I don't feel especially good about it just because he's not that much better than the other plays. But if you look at Alex Smith, he has at least 15 fantasy points in every single ad in the season. No other quarterback has done that all year. Alex Smith is the consistent one. He's picking up yards from running. And I know you like those high floor players that run at the quarterback position. Like you said, he's number 9 on FanDuel in terms of price. And our consensus projection has him at number 4. So it just makes all the sense in the world. Tags, is your number 1 guy someone different?
Well, I definitely like Alex Smith. He's my favorite quarterback play of the week. In terms of cash plays, just because you're saving a couple bucks from going from Tom Brady down to him. Him and Brady, and this is, you hit it on the head, Doug, is that this is a week to spend up a quarterback. There's so much money to be saved. Like, honestly, I could make a DraftKings lineup with $1,000 to spare this week and feel decent about it. And it hasn't been that way. So, you know, when you're talking about the quarterbacks, you don't have to go down to Blake Bortles at 5,200 against the Browns, because like that's like something that you never feel comfortable doing, right? The Browns are a team that there's only been one game this year. They haven't allowed multiple touchdowns. So it's not hard for Blake Bortles to hit value at 5,200. But I just feel like going up $1,500 to get Alex Smith against a Giants defense that honestly, you'd have to go all the way back to week 3 to the last time that they did not allow a top 10 quarterback. and that is ridiculous. They've allowed 16 passing touchdowns in their last six games, multiple 300 yard games. I think there's been four of them, and it's just, there's nothing not to like about this. Andy Reid teams coming off the bye week during his coaching tenure are 16-2, so they're always well prepared. There's nothing about this Giants team that you like. You know, Kareem Hunt, as much as people want to like him, and it's not that I don't like Kareem Hunt. I think that he's a solid play this week as well. But he has struggled recently. So I don't think that we're expecting an Ezekiel Elliott type 150-yard, two-touchdown game out of him. I think you can reasonably expect 100 yards and a touchdown, but that leaves plenty of points to be scored against the Giants. And Alex Smith at 6,700 is just, he's such a safe play.
Yeah, it's a great price for Alex Smith. And Blake Bortles, you mentioned him. He's my close number two in cash games on DraftKings just because he's so cheap. I still don't know if I could if I could use him. And you mentioned Tom Brady. You can't use Carson Wentz on DraftKings, but I'm curious on FanDuel, Doug. Do you like Carson Wentz at Dallas or Tom Brady at Oakland a little better?
Yeah, it's funny about, I think, you know, Wentz, you look at Wentz and you think that he is probably the safer commodity. My only problem with Wentz is, and I suspect these things are all really hard. Like this, sometimes some sample sizes tend to regress to their mean really quickly, and other ones you're just never going to get a true idea of what they are. But Wentz's touchdowns per attempt are like so far beyond anybody else. And that typically strikes me as luck. Like, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's really good. The offense is clicking on all cylinders. It's a very simple offense. They run, I mean, completely efficiently. And the run game, you know, adding Ajay probably helps them in the run game, and that they can just kind of put a lot of different sets out there. I get worried when it's really hard to maintain this level of the amount of touchdowns per attempt. And that's, now look, you can see the attempts tick up if the game stays close, right? So like, he also just hasn't had to throw a lot of it. So this is like the weird thing. This is a long-winded way to say it's weird because maybe if they weren't getting such quick strikes, those other in-between plays also would have been passes, right? So like then it kind of just ends up evening itself out. I just get a little worried when the touchdowns are, you're so touchdown dependent and the price is kind of inflated on that idea. So that's my only concern with him. And this all to say, I think he's also a good play.
Yeah, I think he's a good play too. He's like my number three, number four. I like Tom Brady a little bit more. He's a little bit cheaper on FanDuel. And if you look at Carson Wentz, you mentioned the touchdowns. In his past five games, he's got 17 touchdowns. He's only throwing 29 passes per game. So we're talking about over 10% touchdown rate. The best quarterbacks in football are right around 5, 5.5 for their career. He's definitely due for some negative regression. So I'm not as excited about Carson Wentz as most people are. With that said, he is a good play, even at 8,700.
Well, I actually lowered him down my board a little bit when I found out that Sean Lee was going to be out for the Cowboys. And that might sound a little weird, be like, well, if
good
they're
call.
Missing one of their middle linebackers, why would it take him down? Because I think it helps the Philadelphia run game. Divisional games are typically closer than people expect them to be. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys aren't putting up as many points on the scoreboard without Ezekiel Elliott. We don't know if Tyron Smith is going to play in this game. It just could be one of those grindy games where it's like Philadelphia, they just want to walk out with a win. It's a divisional game. They're at home. They're on the road. There's so much around this that I just feel like they could run the ball all over Dallas without Sean Lee. That takes him down a little bit. My only concern with Brady, and the reason that I would use Alex Smith over Brady and cash, is that Brady is up against an Oakland team that really struggles against the run as well. Like the Patriots have been running the ball extremely well. Rex Burkhead has stepped up. I know he's catching passes. He's running the ball really well. They're not using James White a whole lot. This would be a game where it wouldn't shock me if Mike Gillislee was active and took some goal line carries. It wouldn't shock me at all. So knowing that there's a team that can go back and forth with Tom Brady, I feel like that's why he's a better tournament play than Alex Smith. Whereas the Giants, I just don't see them hanging with the Chiefs very long. So again, we're talking about cash here. Alex Smith, I think, is the way to go. I think we can all agree that he's one of the safest plays in the slate, and his price isn't out of control, especially on FanDuel, where you said it's eighth. He's the eighth most expensive quarterback on FanDuel. That's crazy. That's a discount.
Yeah, he'll be complete chalk. He'll be a pretty chalky play on FanDuel. And one other guy I wanted to mention actually too is I don't mind Breeze in this situation too. I think Breeze is his price is down for reasons that could be outside of like the context of correct, in that they have not had to throw the ball at all in the short term. Like their run game has been so good that his pass attempts per game are way down, and that has driven the price down as well. So I think that like if you think that there's a chance that like Washington can hang in this game, like for instance, he's not going to have less passing attempts than he's had in each of the last 3 weeks, just because they've just haven't had to throw at all. If you think it ticks up by 10-15%, just because the game stays a little bit closer than what the Saints have been doing, I think that you're buying a little bit low on him just because he hasn't had to throw. So I don't mind Breeze in this situation either.
I think that makes sense. It's really interesting. Like, this is maybe the first time all year that Tags and I and the guest have all agreed who the best cash game quarterback is. But there's also like six guys to talk about. We haven't even mentioned Derek Carr against the Patriots yet. And I know Brandon Marianne Lee wasn't as excited about him yesterday on our podcast, but I think he's a pretty safe bet against the Patriots, right, Tags?
Yeah, I mean, I like Derek Carr. I just feel like he has disappeared in certain games. So that's the concern there. Marshawn Lynch did look better the last time he took the field. It's a Raiders team that I don't think they want to go toe-to-toe with New England. That's my only concern there. But I see New England putting points on the board, no matter which way Oakland slices it. They have no defense. It's really sad. They're not going to put pressure on Tom Brady. There's so many reasons to like Derek Carr, which is why he's one of my favorite GPP plays. But in terms of cash, I mean, on DraftKings, Derek Carr's only like, I think it's $300 cheaper than Alex Smith. So it's not like you're getting a whole lot of savings to take on more risk. Again, I think Carr's ceiling is higher. But again, talking cash games, we're just looking for safety here. So yeah, I mean, I do like Carr. It's just, yeah, there's just no need to go down there this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's quite a bit behind Alex Smith, but I think he is worth mentioning in case like that's the price point that you have money left for or whatever. Okay, and before we get into running backs, Tags and I are going to step away and do our draft.com contest. It's another head-to-head competition between Tags and I. Tags, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's 3 against 3 on the year. We each have 3 wins, so this is the rubber match.
The rubber match, and it's fitting because this one is like the most odd one yet. I had not known about this competition that we're about to do, but Bobby did let me know that it's possible. So I was like, well, I'm down to do anything. So let's do it.
Yeah. So we've been doing, you know, the normal 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers or tight ends. They actually have something different on draft that I did a few weeks ago, and I just loved it. So I wanted to share it with y'all. You draft 5 quarterbacks. That's it. You only draft quarterbacks. So Tags and I are going to go head-to-head, and I have the first pick here. And I just think this one's too obvious. I've got to go with Tom Brady here. Is that who you would have picked, Tags?
Yep. I don't know how you got first pick, and I'm not happy that Ben Roethlisberger is not on the slate, by the way, because Ben Roethlisberger would be on my team, like, for sure. But while you're listening to this podcast, Ben Roethlisberger has probably already gone off for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Like, that's happening tonight, by the way. So I'm mad that he's not on this. So it's going to leave me to pick Alex Smith, which, I mean, I think we all knew that one. And you know what? I'm going to combat yours and kind of play. It's tough. I'm debating Carson Wentz here. But
I'll tell you who I want if that helps make up your mind.
No, I don't. It doesn't help me make up my mind. You know what? It's bigger go. All right, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson here. I think Russell Wilson's the play I'm going with.
Good. I really wanted Carson Wentz. I'm glad you did not pick him. So I'm taking Carson Wentz here. And let's see here. I don't want to tell you who else I'm considering, obviously, because then you'll
I made that mistake. I made that mistake.
I'm just going to go ahead and go with Drew Brees. I know you want him, so I'm just going to take him right out from under your nose.
I'm just so frustrated right now. Is that like the fact that you got the first pick is like it's illegal, and then you got 2 picks after I got. I'm on edge right now. I'm totally
beautiful, man.
Obviously, I'm going to go Derek Carr. I'm going to combat your Tom Brady pick because if Tom Brady's going off, then we know Derek Carr is. I don't think it's unrealistic to think that Derek Carr actually outscores Tom Brady because basically they haven't scored many rushing touchdowns this year. But then I am going to go with Dak. I'm going to take the chance that Dak has Tyron Smith back because he needs his left tackle. Like, that needs to happen.
I really wanted Kirk Cousins, so I'm just glad you didn't take him. I'll take Kirk Cousins. I wanted Dak as my second pick, but I'm fine with Matthew Stafford at Chicago. So I've got my 5 quarterbacks, and I love my team.
You know what stinks is that I'm glad you picked Matthew Stafford. I think he's a bust this week, but I'm still mad about this because Cousins is actually somebody I would have picked here. But my issue is that two of my top 9 quarterbacks this week are not on the slate, and that's Ben Roethlisberger and Marcus Mariota, and I would have had both of them because I'm much higher
you
on
would
them.
Because I would not have picked them.
Yeah, I'm higher on them than the consensus, and that's the part that stinks. So,
who's your final pick? Or are you just going to give up now since it's already you're doing?
I feel like I should give up now, but I'm not going to. I am going to go with Matt Ryan.
All right, so now Draft is going to tell us our projected scores. Ooh, this is close. All right, Tags, why don't you share the projected scores?
I don't know how it's close, though. Honestly, your team is so much better. It's 91.3 to 91.1.
Yep, that's right. So my team's Tom Brady at Oakland, well, at Mexico City against Oakland, Carson Wentz against Dallas, Drew Brees against Washington, Kirk Cousins against New Orleans, Matthew Stafford against Chicago. Tags, who's your team?
Alex Smith at the Giants, Russell Wilson versus Atlanta, Derek Carr versus New England, Dak Prescott versus Philly, and then Matt Ryan at Seattle.
Yuck. You guys can tell us who you think won on Twitter at Bobby Fantasy Pro and at Mike Taglier NFL. I don't think you're going to be getting any tweets about this.
I'm sad. I'm officially sad. I don't know how this happened. All right. And guys, if you guys want to compete against us, if you want to come kick my butt like Bobby just did this draft, all you have to do is go to our link. It is draft.com/pros, P-R-O-S. And once you do sign up through that link, you are automatically going to be given a free entry into a tournament. It's a $3 tournament that you're entered into for free, and you're automatically going to be entered to follow us. So therefore, when you sign up, it follows us through that link, and then you're notified when we start a competition. So if we usually every single week, Bobby and myself are sending out multiple draft invites to all of our followers, and whoever hops in first gets in. And it's a fun thing, and some people, like, they'll tweet at me letting me know, be like, oh, I'm drafting against you, I'm gonna kick your butt. And when they do, they let me know about it. So it's always a blast.
Yeah, make sure to go to draft.com/pros so you can get that promo code and compete against us. We'll look forward to competing against you. All right, now let's talk about these running backs. Guys, what kind of week is this? I mean, we've got Leonard Fournette against Cleveland. I don't want to play Leonard Fournette against Cleveland, especially after the turd he put up last week. Todd Gurley against Minnesota. I know a lot of people are going to say he's the top play of the week, but Minnesota's the best team against running backs, right?
They have been. Doug, I feel like this is a really upside down week. I'll talk about my running back plays in a moment, but Doug, how are you approaching the running back position this week? We talked about paying up a quarterback. Does that mean you're going down at wide receiver? Does it mean you're going down at running back? How are you playing the running back position in cash?
Yeah, you got it exactly right. We have a football podcast as well. And my James, who we do the podcast together, we argued about this the more. I'm going to play Kareem Hunt, and I know that it's not going to be very popular.
Games?
Yes. I just think that there's reasons to really like him, reasons to obviously dislike him. So the reasons you like, he got shot out of a cannon basically to start the season. And I think most people generally agreed that it looked good, but it also looked a little funky because it was breaking off long runs that just simply weren't sustainable, right? So but the volume was there. The volume sort of didn't disappear. The rushing attempts fell off a little bit over the last four games before the bye. Some of that, two of those games were definitely game script games where they fell down early. And now he was still on the field. His snaps didn't change because he's still, if you look at his numbers, his pass game targets, they've stayed pretty consistent since the beginning of the season. It was just the rushes that dropped off. And like I said, two of those games, the one against Dallas, and I can't remember what the other one was, were straight up script issues, right? Like Dallas was grinding the ball out. They couldn't get the ball back and they just ran out of plays and they just were coming from behind the whole game. It's a little weird because he has been kind of bad over that time. But this is just the kind of matchup that you take a bounce back game for. And the reason I actually like Hunt in this situation is because there's a couple teams where the offense is completely concentrated on two or three players. Kansas City is one of them, where if you stack Hunt, Smith, and then Kelsey later to get like in cash, you can pretty much figure that you're getting, outside of a Tyreek Hill long touchdown, you're getting almost all of their scoring.
That's true of their
implied total. So I think that from that standpoint, I'm comfortable playing Hunt. I do think the carries are going to be there. I think that helps to have a bye week. So he's had 2 weeks off. It doesn't feel great, and I still kind of think we're buying a little bit low on recent performance. It's weird because he's a rookie, and it's kind of hard to tell which is the real guy. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to be the starter to start the season, so it's not like there's huge, huge pedigree here. But I think I'm comfortable with it mostly because of the matchup, and I think the volume kind of ticks back up.
I think that's fine. I mean, I'm thinking the same thing. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're 28 predictive score. The Saints are 30. I'm fine with starting Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara just because you know they're going to combine for 150 yards and a touchdown or two. And with all the value that there is at wide receiver, I don't mind spending up on both those guys.
The thing is, me at running back position, I'm completely opposite this week, is I don't feel great about anybody at the top of the board. Like, I think Hunt is probably the best running back on that board, but it's not, I don't feel necessarily great about it. I mean, the Giants, again, they've been worse against the pass than they have against the run. They've only allowed three RB1 performances on the season, despite how many points they've allowed, which is saying something. And that's in terms of DraftKings scoring PPR. I'm wondering, like, if you want to spend up, and I don't feel great about it in cash, though, is Melvin Gordon up against the Bills.
Please don't do that, Tags. He's got the turf toe, man.
So hold on a second. So I have been, like, you know me, all year I've been saying, I've had Melvin Gordon in my sell column for the buy sell for like the last 3 weeks whenever this turf toe thing kind of broke loose. But a lot of people are concerned about Austin Eckler. Melvin Gordon like doubled his snaps last week. It was really happenstance. And if you actually saw the touchdowns that Eckler scored, they were really odd plays where he almost went out of bounds and it was some bad tackling on those plays that they really shouldn't have happened. But this is a Bills team that's allowed 10 rushing touchdowns in the last three games. We know that Melvin Gordon is going to get those goal line carries. The concern I have here is that we need Phillip Rivers to get out of concussion protocol. That's number one. And it does help that Nathan Peterman is quarterbacking for the Buffalo Bills, because it's not like the Bills are going to blow them out at home. It's not going to happen. Everything is kind of lining up for Melvin Gordon here, where it's like he's a home favorite going up against a rookie quarterback, a Buffalo team that's been in shambles. They can't stop the run. They traded away Marcell Dareus. Like, none of it makes sense. So everything kind of adds up. And granted, I don't want to play Gordon in cash, but I think he's a good play. Me, I think you can go down. There are so many running backs under $6,000 this week on DraftKings. Like, I'm just going to name them off right now as running backs. I think you legitimately can play in cash. Jerick McKinnon, 5,700. Chris Thompson, 5,400. Doug Martin at 4,500. I know Doug Martin hasn't been playing well, but 4,500 against the Dolphins, that have like legitimately been one of the worst teams in the NFL recently. Like, they're trending in the wrong direction. Amir Abdullah, 4,200 against the Bears. Deion Lewis, 4,200. Like, that guy's been getting more carries every single week. Isaiah Crowell has been running the ball the last two games, 4,100. Latavius Murray, we talked about him in the podcast yesterday. I wouldn't play him at 4,000. I'd rather play McKinnon at 5,700. But I think, and then you obviously get down the board a little bit more. P. Ryan at 3,800, I'm not a huge fan of, but Burkhead at 36. I don't know how Rex Burkhead is $3,600 on DraftKings. Like, he's the same price as Kerwin Williams and Zach Zenner. I'm guessing it's because their game took place like Sunday night. So maybe the pricing was already kind of played and it was already figured out. Because I would imagine that Rex Burkhead would be somewhere in the 5,000 range if they were to reprice this right now. So naming off all those guys and knowing that we're going to pay up a quarterback, that we want to pay up a tight end this week, and if you want to get one of the big name wide receivers, I mean, there's just so much value. It's just hard to find where I'm going to spend that money. Doug, what do you feel about, I know how Bobby feels about Melvin Gordon, but Doug, what do you think about Melvin Gordon this week?
I mean, the injury is a little bit of a concern. That the fact that they had someone else just appear on the scene and like was successful always makes me a little bit concerned. It doesn't always, I mean, we saw this sort of like with Ingram and Kamara too, is that when there's another guy, you ultimately, most teams don't want to run one guy into the ground, because most of them understand that this is not the way that you have long-term viability in the NFL. A lot of times they just can't get away from it. Or like you're Le'Veon Bell and you're just like the Steelers, just whatever, they don't care. But for the most part, when guys show up, I do get a little concerned that there's some incentive to that the snaps will kind of continue there, because they just want to keep some, like they want to keep a guy happy. That's my only concern. I mean, and again, like I said, the injury too. I want to caveat my Kareem Hunt thing by saying, if this was a full week of games, or like even like Le'Veon Bell was available, or like Tevin Coleman from the Monday night game was available, like there's a lot, there's other things. There are players I like a lot more. It just ends up being, like you said, you have to spend the money somewhere. There just aren't a lot of expensive guys to spend on. And when that's the problem, you eventually just have to take the floor somewhere. They got the running backs you mentioned there. I think Chris Thompson is going to be a very popular player in DraftKings this week. He'll probably one of the highest owned running backs, I would suspect, now that Kelly's out. So I think that he fits right. He fits that mold completely, where even if like he wasn't listed the starter, which, you know, they start Pirine, I think that's probably in name only. This is a script that completely fits Thompson more than Pirine. There's almost no scenario where Washington just like gets up two touchdowns and are just running downhill trying to run the clock out. I don't think that's going to happen at all. And if that's the only situation where Thompson loses snaps, I think that he, even if, like, again, if he wasn't listed the starter, I think he's probably one of the highest on DraftKings running backs on the slate.
Yep, that's basically how I feel about Thompson. Like when I was going through it, it's just like everything lines up perfectly for him. The Saints have allowed the sixth most receiving yards to running backs on the year. Again, the game script just, it really pans out. And I think that, to be fair, I mean, going back to Kareem Hunt, I would rather probably play Kareem Hunt than Mark Ingram. And I think Mark Ingram is going to be considered chalk this week with all the money that people are saving. I think that a lot of people are going to play Ingram. And honestly, I think Alvin Kamara might even be the better play at 7,500 in a PPR
format. On DraftKings, yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah. On FanDuel, I would rather play Mark Ingram. I think he has safer touchdowns.
Well, Doug hit it, though, is that we're going to see that this ground game, it's talking about regression and the fact that Drew Brees, everything in his numbers right now lines up with his career totals, is actually better. He's not throwing as much, yeah, but his touchdown percentage is down, and that has nothing to do with his play. It has everything to do with the way that everything has fallen, kind of like how DeMarco Murray scored 3 touchdowns last week. Does that mean DeMarco Murray is going to be great going forward? No, it doesn't. So there's definitely positive touchdown regression coming for Drew Brees, and knowing if the run game does see that regression, that Alvin Kamara can get it done in multiple ways. He can get it done through the air as well, because he's the only one that scored a receiving touchdown out of that backfield. So I do think that you could actually stack Drew Brees with Alvin Kamara in tournaments. And honestly, I don't think I'd play Brees in cash. I don't think we're at that point right now, but in a tournament, you could actually stack Brees, Kamara, and maybe like Michael Thomas and have like, you know, I don't think many people own that stack right now because so many people are down on Drew Brees and Michael Thomas.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You guys mentioned Chris Thompson. A lot of people are going to be on him on DraftKings. Have you seen what he's been doing lately? It is not the definition of safe. I mean, I know he's going to get a few more carries this week, but Chris Thompson has kind of been a dud the last 3 weeks.
He leads the team in targets, or he's second. He's either first or second. Crowder might be ahead of him now after last week. It's mostly just that he gets his most snaps in these kind of game scripts. So that is where I agree with you that the stats don't look great. But the thing is now, I mean, P Ryan stinks, right? Well, so does Rob Kelly. Like, I don't understand why they're clearly not incentivized to try to run Thompson a ton between the tackles. But they just can't run at all. They're just one of these teams that just has to pass. And I think when that's the case, you're going to see his snaps trend up enough where now that they've completely removed one loser from the backfield, thankfully, and now they're going to, and again, P. Ryan's, he stinks too. So I think you're just going to see outward snaps on him. Unlike some of the other guys you mentioned, you know, a lot of the other guys you mentioned tags were complete timeshare, right? Like McKinnon, like the McKinnon Murray thing, right? Like you're sort of guessing there. Even the Kamara Ingram thing is a timeshare that you're kind of guessing on. I don't think we're doing as much guesswork on Thompson, and I'm understanding that I'm trying to get most of my value on with him through the air. And that is, I agree with you, that is a little weird to do at running back.
Yeah, and thinking about like Josh Doctson, who's been seeing more targets in the passing game, he's going to obviously see Marshawn Lattimore in this game. And honestly, Thompson, it all comes down to the slate you're playing on, right? Like PPR, Chris Thompson's obviously worth a lot more. Looking at his game log, he's in 6 of 9 games. He has scored at least the 12.5 points you're looking for in a cash game. He's actually reached 15 points in 6 of 9 games this year. So that's what you're looking for. And on top of the fact that he's been doing it 66% of the time, 67, whatever, we have an ideal game script. We have an ideal opponent for this to match up against. Again, Samaje Perine, they've kind of moved on. I don't think that they really wanted to play Samaje Perine. Rob Kelly, I don't even think was 100% when they put him back in the lineup. So I think you're looking at like 10 to 12 carries for Chris Thompson, but you should also see anywhere from 6 to 9 targets. And when you're talking about 5,400, you're looking to get, you know, 12.5, 13 PPR points, and then he hits value. Anything on top of that is, you know, icing on the cake.
You know, I think we have to talk about Jamal Williams too, right? I mean, we don't know if Ty Montgomery is going to play. If Ty Montgomery doesn't play, Jamal Williams is getting 20 touches, man.
I wouldn't even play him then. Not against Baltimore with Brandon Williams back. Brandon Williams, since he's come back, they've been allowing like nada on the ground. They're back to the Baltimore defense that we all remember. And they're coming off their bye week.
So you're not taking 20 touches for dirt cheap?
I mean, I would rather play Isaiah Crowell. Or Deion Lewis.
Okay, yeah, and Deion Lewis is a very good price.
Yeah, 4,200. Like Amir Abdullah is going to get those touches. Doug Martin might. I mean, like that's debatable.
But on FanDuel, though, where Deion Lewis, it doesn't matter as much that he's getting all these receptions and everything. I'm fine with playing Jamal Williams there.
Well, he doesn't catch the ball at all. Deion Lewis hasn't been used in the passing game. He's been like their goal line back, which is really weird. It's really weird that Deion yeah, Lewis is not like, I think he has like one catch in like the last 3 games. It's like ridiculous how much they're not using him, but he's getting at least 14 carries every game. He's getting the goal line snaps, which are really, really important, especially against Oakland, who just can't seem to stop anything. But again, Jamal Williams, he hasn't shown us any reason to trust him. This offense isn't going to have very many scores scoring opportunities. Like, Brett Hundley is not very good at football. Like, we've watched this Packers team. They've scored 17 or fewer points in 3 of the 4 games that he's played. So we can't even depend on goal line carries. So if Jamal Williams, even if he gets 20 touches, I think that they're going to involve Randall Cobb in the backfield. I think he would get 5 to 8 carries back there. I think they would involve Rapowski. Like, there's so many things here where even if Williams got 20 touches, I'm not confident he would end up with more than 6 fantasy points.
Also, too, I think we want to prioritize just teams that are just projected to score points. If you look down in Vegas implied totals this week, right, there's only 4 teams that have implied totals of 25 or higher. This is why a lot of our discussion is actually concentrated on just a couple teams, because really just about any system, any projection system that anyone models really off any metrics is going to just pull out a lot of these same guys, because these are just the only teams that are supposed to score points. The Chiefs, the Saints, I mean, to some degree, the Chargers, the Patriots, and there's one more team I'm forgetting. But all the other teams are like 20 points or less, and that's a really, really tough nut to crack for anybody, even when the prices are low, because you're just not, Vegas isn't projecting them to do anything in these games. So it's just very, very, very low scoring week. And I think that's why you just see a lot of the, really just throughout the industry, you just see a lot of the talk concentrating on just a few teams because they're the only ones that are going to score.
Right. And I mean, Jamal Williams, to be fair though, Bobby, too, he's not like really like dirt cheap. Like, they have him priced at $4,900 on DraftKings, which is in like, he's $100 cheaper than Lamar Miller, like $1,000 cheaper than Adrian Peterson. Like, he's not like $3,000 where it's like we're talking about minimum and we need him to score 8 points. Like, at that price, we need him to score a touchdown and rack up 70 yards. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, it's definitely not safe. That's a really good point. Yeah, it's not safe, especially with Brandon Williams back. Running back is a disaster this week. Doug, is there anyone else you want to talk about for cash games at running back?
No, we pretty much covered it. I mean, like, those are the guys that we wrote up in our article. I mentioned there's a bounce back chance for Fournette, although I think the Cleveland defense against the run is a little bit fluky. Like, if you look at the teams they played, it's not, the teams just aren't very good. So there's a strength of schedule issue there, I think, where, you know, I get they rank second in DVOA against the rush. They really have not played. I mean, they had played like Le'Veon Bell week 1, and they really haven't, when he obviously hadn't even practiced. And then they really haven't played another running back. So I think this is a kind of a bounce back spot for Fournette. My only concern with Fournette is, you know, it's weird. It's very weird to have a guy get benched before a game for violating team rules when you're as good as Fournette. And so when something like that happens to a guy, and then like last week, he had his carries cut into a little bit, I think there's been a clear message being sent to him that's being said, we just like don't need you maybe as much as you think we need you. And so that always makes me a little worried on a guy, because it's just the best way for your uses to disappear. And all that being said, I think he's probably the best talent running back that's going on this slate, and that's always really worth something.
Agreed.
So I think there's a case to be made for Fournette. It's not an altogether strong one, but if you thought he was going to see 23, 24 touches again, then I think that I don't want to overrate the Cleveland defense, because I do not think they're like the number 2 ranked rushing defense in the football. I don't think that's true necessarily.
Yeah. I think it has more to do with his ankle. I think if his ankle was not sprained, I don't know if they would have suspended him that game. Like, I know they've got Tom Coughlin there and everything, and like, they're tough guys, but I don't think you suspend Leonard Fournette if his ankle's not hurt.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really weird thing, and I know they're trying to send a message and all that stuff, but it was just a really weird situation. But talking about this week, I actually dig it, Doug. Like, thinking about it, like Leonard Fournette is someone I kind of got to. I'm like, yeah, the matchup against Cleveland isn't as great as some people think, but the casual fan thinks that, right? A lot of sharps know that the Browns defense has been really good against the run, but you made a really good point about the level of competition that they've played. They have done really good. I'm not going to take anything away from them, but they did lose Jamie Collins this last week, and he's out for the season. He's the linebacker they traded for last year from the Patriots, so they obviously valued him very well. And if you look over the last couple weeks, I mean, Jerick McKinnon and Amir Abdullah both were able to post solid numbers. They both scored a rushing touchdown. So I think that Fournette might be like a solid contrarian play, because I think people would rather go down to Ingram and Hunt and maybe Melvin Gordon and Kamara rather than play Fournette. So you're probably going to get him, I don't know, would you say 8 to 10%?
Yeah, probably right around 5%, man. I don't want to go contrarian at running back. I'd rather, it's such a disaster, I would just rather play the surefire guys.
But he's locked into carries. Like, you know, he's going to get 20 carries. Like, that's,
do we?
That's happening.
He didn't get it last week.
He got 17.
Yeah, yeah.
His snaps last week were not cut as bad as people think they were. If you look at his yearly totals, it wasn't far off what he usually does. It's just the way it kind of worked out that the game flow in the second half, and it just seemed like they cut him, but they didn't really. This is a game where DeShone Kizer's not going to be able to get anything done against Jacksonville. Leonard Fournette, this is the ground and pound game. I think they return back to it. And I mean, I don't know if you need to go there in cash, but again, we need to, Doug said it, you have to spend your money somewhere, and Fournette, he might have the safest.
And there's a correlation play between Fournette and the Jacksonville D also. Like, you can get running back and and that guy's defense there's something of a strong correlation. I don't remember the exact number, but there's something of a strong correlation between those two things. And the Jags D is one we're going to talk about too. So I think pairing them together, there's some safety in it. Well, and only as safe as compared to the rest of the week, which feels decidedly unsafe.
What's the over under on how many points Kizer and the Browns score? Like -6?
Yeah. It's a complete joke that they're a team. You don't see, this is a year we've seen really low. It really speaks to how bad some of these teams are. Really low implied totals. You really don't see 13 and 14 implied totals for NFL teams just because they're NFL teams and they're supposed to be able to do something even against good defenses. This is multiple times this year. We've seen it with the Giants. We've seen it a couple times with the Browns. These teams are so otherworldly bad that, you say negative. It really feels like you're closer to that than the 14 outside of luck boxing it. But it's really, it is. It really speaks to just that there's not as much. There are some really bottom of the barrel teams, and Browns are one of them.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on over to wide receiver. And again, this is just ugly. We've got Antonio Brown going on Thursday night for $9,000. Besides that, I mean, we can't use him, right? So we've got Michael Thomas against Josh Norman.
So mad about that.
We've got Doug Baldwin on Monday night. Can't use him either. So we've got one player above $8,000 at wide receiver. AJ Green against Denver. Julio Jones against Seattle. Julio Jones is on Monday night. DeAndre Hopkins against Patrick Peterson. Another complete wasteland.
Well, actually, I'm going to call into question one thing. I actually don't think Thomas is going to get Josh Norman shadow. Josh Norman doesn't shadow cover. He doesn't shadow cover anybody.
No, he doesn't shadow at all.
He only lines up on the left side of the field, and Thomas actually lines up more on the opposite side. So I actually think Thomas is in a great spot here, because Bashaud Breeland is about as bad as it gets on the other side. Like, teams just completely beast on on that side of the field, and that is where Thomas, they move him around a lot. I'm looking at some Pro Football Focus numbers. So I'm not completely quoting this myself, but he lines up more on the left side, but also lines up in the slot in the right. And because they move him around so much, my guess is they move him almost the entire game away from Norman. So I actually think that Thomas is like the pretty clear cash game play among those wide receivers, because I just don't think he's going to grab. He's just not. They're not going to purposely line him up against Norman when they already move him around so much.
Good point. Really good point.
Yeah, correct. Josh Norman has played one snap away from left cornerback this year. So, yeah, I'm definitely not worried about that. But Evans is my cash game play. Like, I don't see a scenario where Mike Evans doesn't go off against the Dolphins. And I say that because, you know, if you watch the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, you understand why I'm saying this. Xavien Howard looked lost. Tankersley, the rookie cornerback,
I
don't really put too much on him. He's been thrown into a situation where it's not ideal. But the reason that you have to like Mike Evans a lot is because, you know, when you look at the defense as a whole, they got TJ McDonald back last week from suspension. And it just so happens that first week they get him back, it's a guy that's new with the team. He came from the Rams this offseason. He was suspended for the first so many weeks, and first week back. Obviously, there was some miscommunication in that game. Devin Funchess was clearly the only wide receiver that they had to worry about, and they couldn't handle that. Devin Funchess scoring two touchdowns against a team is not saying something very good. And I'm not saying that Funchess is bad. I'm the one who touted him before the season, but he's not a number one receiver. Like, he's not the guy that's going to carry your team to the Super Bowl. Like, he's not Mike Evans. And on top of that, they don't only have to worry about Mike Evans. They have to worry about DeShone Jackson. So they can't just say, we're going to focus and we're going to shade a safety his way. It's just not that simple. There's a reason that guys like Mike Evans produce week in, week out. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a really, really bad game. His first one back is because he didn't have a possession receiver. You know, Chris Godwin was a rookie. Adam Humphries hasn't done much in the slot. Cameron Brate, he doesn't target tight ends very much. And DeShone Jackson is not meant to be targeted 10 times per game. I don't see a scenario where Mike Evans does not see at least 12 targets in this game. I think he's going to go for 100 yards and a touchdown, if not two. It's just like, this is like a nut spot for Mike Evans. And if he doesn't go off here, he's never going to. It's basically like the DVOA in terms of Football Outsiders. They have a DVOA metric where they're calling the Dolphins the worst defense in football. And it's been trending that way as the season's gone on. They just don't have the talent to hang there. So I do like Michael Thomas as a tournament play. I think, but in cash, I would rather go up $500 to Evans, just because I believe Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's the thing. I do want to address this too. Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, right? He wasn't good. We know that. We also have seen Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker this year. Are those guys good this year? Were they good this year, I should say? Brandon Marshall, the answer would be no. Eric Decker hasn't done anything in Tennessee, playing the slot there, seeing, I think, 44 targets on the year. So he's seen plenty of opportunity. So are we really going to put all of it on Ryan Fitzpatrick last year with the options he was throwing to? Back in 2015, Brandon Marshall looked like Brandon Marshall. Eric Decker was scoring touchdowns every week. Everybody was celebrating. So knowing that
they
Mike
didn't
Evans,
have a running game either.
Yeah. And no, well, that the Bucs don't either. So knowing that Mike Evans is, we know he's a premier talent in the league. We know he's an athletic freak. We know that you could just toss the ball up in one-on-one situations and he's going to win them the majority of the time. We saw AJ Green come back from his boxing match. Now we're seeing Mike Evans come back. I'm saying Mike Evans behind Antonio Brown. Mike Evans is the number one wide receiver this week.
That's fair. I mean, with all the money we're saving at running back, we could probably afford to play both these guys. I mean, there's tons of value down at wide receiver. We can go down and get one of those guys to pair with Evans and Thomas.
I definitely debated it. Definitely debated it. I mean, I've been burned by Michael Thomas a little bit recently because he hasn't scored, but I'm not one to hang on to grudges. I know Michael Thomas is, he's so good. He's so consistent in terms of what he offers you and the floor he gives you in fantasy leagues and obviously DFS. But we haven't even seen the ceiling. He's a top 12 wide receiver right now, and we have not even seen his ceiling.
Yeah, there's six other players here in the mid-range that I like quite a bit. Golden Tate at Chicago, he's been on fire lately. Michael Crabtree against New England, I already talked about Carr there. I think they're going to rack up the points trying to keep up with New England. Alshon Jeffrey at Dallas, I know you can't play him on DraftKings. Larry Fitzgerald at Houston. You've got Sterling Shepard again face Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And then I love Devontae Parker against the Bucs this week. He's definitely going to be in my cash game lineups just because Jay Cutler is throwing the ball better finally. I think he's got a grip on this offense now, on the playbook. And Devontae Parker's been playing really well every single game.
I love the Parker call. I'm all over Devontae Parker this week. The cornerbacks he's going to match up with are Brent Grimes and Vernon Hargreaves, and they are 5'9 and 5'10. Devontae Parker high points the ball extremely well, and he should take advantage of that. Jay Cutler knows, I'm sure he knows, the Bucs cornerbacks. He actually didn't play very well against the Bucs the last time he was supposed to when he was with the Bears. But this defense has kind of taken a turn for the worse. So I do dig the Landry call. I'd worry about Golden Tate a little bit. Something you should watch with the Bears is you should find out whether or not Bryce Callahan is playing, because Callahan missed last week. He's been the Bears slot cornerback this year. He's done extremely well. Even going back to last year, he played really well. So watch to see if he plays. If he does not play, Cravon LeBlanc is going to cover the slot, and he hasn't actually been bad either. The Bears have like a kind of like a little hidden riches at the slot cornerback position, but it's definitely an upgrade for Tate. But you're paying for him. That's my concern, is that I think you could go down. I think you go down if you're playing DraftKings. I think you can go down to Jarvis Landry at 6,400 and play him instead.
I love Landry. I was going to jump in on that on the back end of the Parker thing, because Landry, if you talk about consistency from wide receiver, he's by far the most consistent wide receiver on a week-to-week basis. His coefficient of variation is lower than anybody else, and it's actually really not even particularly close. Now, his big issue is that he doesn't do anything once he catches the ball. I take that back. He has actually caught touchdowns this year. Targeted him in the red zone. Now, what hasn't happened, though, he has no receptions of more than 20 yards, I don't think. And I was really looking at this. That 20 is maybe a little bit wrong, but it's somewhere in that range. Basically, he has no long catches. Let's just call it a long catch, right? And I really looked at this for the last couple of years, and I feel like it's sort of fluky, right? The best way, or one of the best ways, to have a long catch is to just keep catching the ball. I mean, it's your highest correlation with being able to, you know, be able to run with the ball far is to have the ball to begin with. And I feel like there's some chance that we're still buying low on Landry because he just hasn't broken one yet. Now, that's not to say that's going to happen this week. It might not happen the rest of the season, but the price, he's fairly priced now for good production, and he's done everything else except for just turn a 10-yard gain into a 30-yard gain, let's say. And he really, once that happens once or twice, you're really now you're looking at outsized gains. So I really like Landry. The targets for him are completely insane. Like they just throw to him seemingly like every single play.
Amazing.
So and what I also like about him, he's done this with bad quarterbacks the entire way, right? Like he has never really had. I mean, Tannehill, Cutler, Moore. I mean, these quarterbacks are not good. To still get this outsized target share from a guy on their bad quarterback play is pretty impressive. So from a cash game standpoint, I'm all over Landry again this week.
Yeah, this is my concern with Landry. My only concern there is that he has totaled 48 yards or less in six of his last eight games. So the touchdowns have actually masked what's been kind of lackluster yardage totals. Now, granted, he's catching the ball, like the receptions are there, so you're getting the PPR totals. So his floor is really solid. That's why I do like him in cash. But another thing to watch is that Robert McClain is the slot cornerback for the Bucs. He might miss this week. He's been allowing 77% catch rate out of the slot anyway, so it's not like it's a bad matchup. But if he misses, they're going to move Vernon Hargraves into the slot, which would be a huge upgrade. Vernon Hargraves is the only cornerback in the league who allowed more than 1,000 yards in his coverage last year. His sophomore year hasn't been any better. Like they would bench him if they had other talent on the roster. They just don't. So keep an eye on Robert McClain. If he's benched, Jarvis Landry gets a bump up in projections. And I honestly think that game is really sneaky in terms of like shootout potential. Like you have two DGAF quarterbacks. You have Jay Cutler willing to throw it up to Devontae Parker, has Jarvis Landry at his disposal. The running game is getting things done. And then you have Ryan Fitzpatrick on the other side of the field that's going to chuck it up to Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, and Miami doesn't have the talent in the secondary to handle it. So that game has some sneaky shootout potential. I'm just saying, keep that on your radar for DFS.
Yeah, not for cash games, but I like what you're saying.
No, yeah, not for cash. My bad.
Are there any other cash game plays at wide receiver that you guys are interested in? Maybe a Jeremy Maclin at Green Bay or Jameson Crowder?
Those two. Those are the last two I wanted to mention. I think Brandon Cooks also can be considered in cash. He's 6,600. That game's projected to be a shootout. Oakland struggles with fast wide receivers. Cooks has actually been like more consistent than people have thought. He's actually been really good. He just hasn't scored touchdowns. So those touchdowns are going to come. I think he's a solid play, but Maclin and Crowder, if you're looking to save some money for whatever reason at wide receiver, Maclin and Crowder are some high floor options.
What about you, Doug? Any other names at the position?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Shepard was a guy that we're really targeting pretty high. You mentioned him before. Maclin's still coming cheap. I'm a little worried with Crowder. Crowder doesn't have the best matchup. These Saints cornerbacks have been pretty good this season, but for 4,300 for a guy that sees double digit, conceivably could see double digit targets, I think that's pretty much a great spot for him. It's so funny. You really wish he would never be priced like this, but DeAndre Hopkins is so cheap now, 6,100. They're still throwing him the ball. The throws are completely awful, obviously, but they're still targeting him. We've had really trouble in our system with what to do with him because we've had to basically just change his entire projection because what he was doing with Watson, he's still getting the same amount of looks, but just not converting them. I'm like almost tempted to do it because with no Fuller, they have nobody else. He's going to just see like maybe 20 targets because they don't have anyone else to throw to at 6,100. He doesn't need to convert a ton of them to get there. So I think there's some chance you're buying low. I mean, you maybe throw in a Bruce Ellington for 3,002, but I think you could be buying low on Hopkins if they're able to sort anything out in the quarterback game, which it doesn't seem likely, but he's coming so cheap.
That's a good call for DraftKings, at least on FanDuel. He's 7,700. So
no, too expensive there. Yeah, too expensive.
Yeah. Hey, guys, for tight end cash games, like, do we really even need to talk about this? If Kelsey's if Kelsey's ownership is not 90%, then there is something vastly wrong with the DFS community.
Well, actually, it shouldn't be higher than 49% because Rob Gronkowski is the best player.
What? What? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Are you messing with me?
Not even kidding. Here's a list of the tight ends that have finished top five against the Raiders: Julius Thomas, AJ Derby, and Vernon Davis. Like, stop. Don't take Rob Gronkowski for granted. He's too good.
But have you seen the Giants have done the tight ends? They've allowed a touchdown.
Oh yeah,
they've
allowed a touchdown in every game ever. Like, so in standard
Travis
format,
Kelsey's really good too, man.
No, I'm not saying he's not. Like, they're 1A and 1B, but that's why I said it should be 51 and 49%. Like, wow. Gronk should be 51. Like, I'm just saying, like, this matchup for Gronk, he's coming off an off game, I would say, and I'm putting that in quotes. Four catches for 74 yards is an off game for Gronk. It's amazing the standard we hold this guy to, but the Raiders really struggle up the seam. They struggle against wide receivers. Gronk is like that hybrid where it's like he's a tight end wide receiver. It seems like Chris Hogan is not going to go again. Danny Amendola's matchup against TJ Carey in the slot isn't great. Again, I like Brandon Cooks, but I think Rob Gronkowski's in a position to smash, and I think you're going to get him at lower ownership than you ever would in a matchup this good.
That's really interesting.
Can you play both of them, man? DraftKings, can you just put Gronk in your flex? Because Kelsey's the tight end. Gronk would have to be the flex.
I mean, that's basically you're paying up for, like, you, if you go down cheap in running backs, I mean, yeah, if you get a couple cheap running backs, you could do that.
So with things like this, I like to wait till Sunday morning, because I'm looking at our system too, and I'm actually surprised it's closer than I thought it was between Kelsey and Gronkowski, because Gronkowski to me was sort of an afterthought, and then looking at their projection, he's about a point projected behind Kelsey, and that's actually the difference of like half a target or something like that. So it wouldn't take much to make up the difference. With situations like that, I actually like to wait till Sunday morning to see when Vegas player props come out to see where that money is landing on guys. And Gronkowski and Kelsey are public enough that they will have player props. Because I think that if there's a coin flip, let's say you thought these guys were coin flips, right? And they're the same. So they clearly are. I'm DraftKings, so they're the same price. I like to go over there and just look at where the prop lands and like let that be the deciding factor. And we've done a pretty good job of being able to use that as just the, if we're trying to make a decision between two guys, let's take it out of our system and into this other system, which is Vegas, who's also putting large amounts of money into making sure that it's as close to the median, as close to the median number or the mean number as you can get. So I think this would be a situation, I think almost 100% on Sunday, that I'll go and say, where do these Vegas props line up? And then that will probably be the deciding factor on the tight end.
Man, I don't know. Tags, I was really surprised when you said that. And I thought, I really did think you were joking. It makes a lot of sense.
No, it
Gronk
does.
Is a really good play this week, but I'm still using Kelsey. I mean, but it's a lot closer, like Doug said.
I think you're going to, I actually think you're going to get separation on Gronkowski. And I think you're probably correct. I love the play. It's great. I think you're incorrect about the ownership, because I just think Kelsey will be a more public play because everyone understands that the Giants are bad. And I even didn't realize that maybe that this Gronkowski thing was as close as possible or as close as it is. So I actually think you end up getting pretty great separation on a great play. That's a great call.
No, I appreciate it. Obviously the only concern, and honestly, I think I might give the edge to Kelsey and cash. Maybe the only reason I'm saying this is because adding Martellus Bennett to the mix of tight ends there is a pain in the butt. Because I don't like it. Like, remember last year, like when they were both in the field and Martellus had like a 3-touchdown game and you're sitting there as a Gronk owner and you're like, you're just staring at your TV, like in disbelief, like what is happening right now? That's concerning, but obviously, you know, it's not like he was targeted a whole bunch last week, but Gronkowski, like I said, in tournaments, especially, I just think Gronk is going to be, his ownership will be lower than it should be.
Yeah. And Kelsey also is $700 less on FanDuel. So it is closer on DraftKings. Guys, let's talk defense special teams. The Jags are now up to 5,600 on FanDuel, and I'm still paying for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're clearly in the best spot. You mentioned Cleveland. Their Cleveland is a complete and utter disaster. They're far and away, probably any system, the far and away aggregate point or mean point projection for any defense. I think it's a pretty easy call. There's a couple other interesting teams, especially if you decide you want to spend a little bit more, but I think that I suspect it's really weird to pay top dollar for defenses because there's so much variance in how they score, especially late game flukiness or just whatever. Little things can happen that just that can mean you don't get there on your price. And this is still probably the dream spot for a defense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think in cash, you have enough money this week to pay up for Jacksonville. Just do it.
Yeah, you've got to get to, 11 points. They've got that every single week almost. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're going against the Browns.
They're the nut play. Like, honestly, they're going to be the chalk. They're going to, in cash lineups, they're probably going to be like 70% owned. Like, no kidding. I think the Chargers are going to see higher ownership because you're saving some money by going down to the Chargers.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that.
All right, guys. Well, let's just go backwards here with GPP. We'll start at defense special teams. You already mentioned the Chargers. I mean, they're not necessarily contrarian. Is there a contrarian play you like, Doug?
I mean, I think everyone besides those two teams is contrarian. And I think when that's the case, you can make a case. I mean, the Bengals are in a good spot here against Denver. Bears are coming, pretty good defense against Detroit. There's a lot of them. So I think you can pretty much rest assured that anyone after the Jaguars and the Chargers is going to be pretty low owned. And at that point, I think you're just, I hate to say it because it sounds like a cop-out, but I think you're just in kind of dartboard territory after that. Chiefs against the Giants. Giants are horrible too. So I think you're kind of rolling the dice and hoping to get lucky outside of those two teams.
The only team I would mention is the Broncos. I think that they're going to be like so low owned. They're 3,800. They're only 200 cheaper than Jacksonville. But in terms of a GPP, especially one that's like top heavy, where it's like if you're shooting for $1 million, you have to be like contrarian and look for the Denver defense. I mean, against the Bengals offensive line that can't block, Von Miller is going to go untouched sometimes. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Andy Dalton sacked 8 times in this game. So a potentially high floor option. Like, I just think in a GPP that the Denver Broncos could be a solid play?
I'm going super contrarian here. I think the Browns are going to be like 0.2, 0.3% owned. Going against Blake Bortles at $4,000. Yeah, I'll get some exposure to that.
I can't trust the Browns. Can't do it.
I'm not trusting the Browns. I'm taking a chance that they just happen to find their way into a touchdown or two against Blake Bortles. All right, guys, GPP at tight end position. Who stands out to you guys?
I think considering that Kelsey's going to be the clear high-owned guy, and then, you know, you made a pretty compelling case for Gronk. I think you can make a pretty good case for Ertz, and I don't think anyone's really going to play him. He looks like he has a good safety matchup here against Dallas, and he's been a really highly targeted guy, among the best tight ends in all of football, and really going pretty much untalked about so far this week, mostly because these other, like, Kelsey's in such a great spot, and then you maybe possibly have Vernon Davis if Jordan Reed is out. So I think between those two guys, you eat up most of the ownership at tight end, and then you have a guy like Ertz who's fantastic, right, in a good spot, and really nobody talking down. So I don't actually mind paying up for what I think might be a pretty contrarian play in Ertz.
Yeah, that's a good call on FanDuel. You can't use one.
What I was going to say is, like, that's the exact argument that I use for Evan Engram. Evan Engram this week, 6,000. He's priced high, so it's not like he's very cheap, but the way he's been producing, he's going to be under-owned just because of Gronk and Kelsey. Like, that's basically the reason that Evan Engram is a decent tournament play. The other two I have down here, CJ Fedorowicz, I think at 3,100 can be considered when you have DeAndre Hopkins matched up with Patrick Peterson. Arizona was such a good team against defense against tight ends for so long, but this year they've allowed like three massive performances, and Fedorowicz did play a ton of snaps last week, so he's back from his concussion. I think he's good. But and Cameron Brate is, like, I know that he screwed a lot of people last week, but the matchup against Miami is really, really good. His price isn't great. It's 4,200 on DraftKings. So again, this is just a tournament option. I wouldn't play him in cash, but nobody ever mentioned Tyler Kroft as an option in cash. By the way, if you want to save some funds at tight end, and if you don't want to pay up for Gronk or Kelsey, Tyler Kroft at 2,900 is a fantastic play.
Oh, man, that is seriously cheap. Yeah, I love Cameron Brate this week. Tyler Kroft at that price, man, that is really, really good. I also kind of like Mercedes Lewis. I mean, I don't like him, but for GPP, he's fine against Cleveland, right? I mean, you can see a scenario where he catches two touchdowns.
Well, yeah, with
passes.
Alan Hearns out, I mean, I know that you're high on Keelan Cole, but at the same time, Mercedes Lewis has gotten a few more targets over the last couple weeks, and with Hearns out, with Dede Westbrook not necessarily knowing the playbook, his first NFL game, if he does play, like, there's a lot of question marks there. Jason McCourty came back for the Browns last week. He's going to cover Marquise Lee. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons that Marquise Lee could have a decent game, or that Mercedes Lewis could have a decent game, so I'm not opposed to that at all.
Okay, guys, let's go wide receiver, and I'm going first because I can't hold it in any longer. Keelan Cole had 166 air yards last week, even though he didn't start the game. He had eight targets. You know, Alan Hearns got hurt, but he got hurt late in the game. Blake Bortles is throwing the ball to Keelan Cole a lot. It's going to happen even more this week. He's got big play upside. He's got some serious athleticism. I'm all over him in GPP.
I'm not opposed to it. The only concern I have is that they're going to put him in the slot, it sounds like, that they're going to have him replace Hearns in the slot. And Brian Body Calhoun has been actually a really good slot cornerback this year. I think that that Westbrook, if he had been playing more games, he'd be a fantastic sleeper. But Mercedes Lewis, I'm on that call. I think Cole is fine. I don't think the matchup is as great as we want it to be. I think if you're going down that range, like, that's, I mean, if you're looking for like those really, really cheap plays, I think it's solid.
Yeah, my two other guys, DeMarcus Robinson against the Giants. I think he could have a big week, any week, serious potential. And the other guy I want to talk about is Amari Cooper. I mean, I already talked about Michael Crabtree, and I think he's the safer play, but we've seen Amari Cooper just go absolutely nuts, and it could happen against the Patriots this week.
No, for sure. And this is really interesting, right? Like, 'cause Bill Belichick, we know that he takes away number one wide receivers like he attempts to. His cornerbacks are not really helping him that matters this much. Like, you saw last week against Denver, you saw Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas both put up very productive weeks. It's because Stephon Gilmore hasn't been the cornerback that they hoped that they would get in terms of signing him in the free agency. And Malcolm Butler hasn't really shown shutdown capabilities. Like, he was burned over and over by Emmanuel Sanders last week. So Amari Cooper, I think that they're going to stick either Malcolm Butler or Stephon Gilmore on there. I just don't think that there's a cornerback in the NFL who can hang with Amari Cooper's size, speed, route running capability. His stop and go ability is just ridiculous. His hands obviously are questionable, in a game that we're projecting to be this high, this is a matchup where, honestly, I think that Cooper and Crabtree can both be considered like wide receiver one options. So at $6,000 for Amari Cooper, knowing the ceiling that he presents, I think it's a fantastic play.
You know, I was looking at combine numbers the other day because I'm thinking I'm probably going to have to do this. And I was looking at Danny Woodhead's numbers because I'm going to try to compete against him when I do this combine. And I just want to see what Amari Cooper did. His broad jump was almost 11 feet. That is so stupid.
Well, it makes up for the fact that he has two bricks at the end of his arms. Like he yeah. You calling his hands questionable is like a compliment for him. No, I was gonna put Cooper and Crabtree in that. I mean, Cooper's the very definition. He and T.Y. Hilton have this class of themselves that is just the very definition of tournament play because their performances are so lumpy that it's actually kind of off the charts. Like Cooper's standard deviation is actually. It's the craziest number. I don't have it right in front of me, but his coefficient variation was over one. Most good players is somewhere like in the 0.4 range. So he's like 2.5x more volatile than a good play. But that's why he's priced 6,000 and not 9,000. Like if he could catch the ball, he'd be a $9,000 wide receiver. He'd be in the Antonio Brown, like Julio Jones kind of group of guys. He just can't seem to catch it. So from a tournament perspective, you know, it's almost, you just call like the, it's probably the T.Y. Hilton Hall of Fame, but Amari Cooper is a member of that group.
For sure.
You know, we also have to mention Tyreek Hill, of course.
Yep.
And Robert Woods. I mean, Robert Woods, even against Minnesota, he's just been so good, man. Like, I don't know how you don't consider him for GPP.
I understand it. I really do. And this is one that I'm really torn on. Like I am like a wide receiver cornerback guy that I can go through and talk about this stuff. But Xavier Rhodes, I can't see a situation.
Is Rhodes going to cover Woods?
I don't. That's the question. Is I think that they're actually just going to play sides. I don't think they're going to have Rhodes shadow at all. I think they're just going to play it as is. And that means that Sammy Watkins would see the most of Xavier Rhodes. So that means that Trey Waynes would match up against Robert Woods for the majority of the time. And that means that he would be a decent play. My concern with him, though, is that he's going to be so highly owned just because people chase those points.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a spot where I think the Rams let down. I mean, that was my bold prediction yesterday on the show, is that the Rams score 16 points, and that's just one touchdown and three field goals. So, I mean, Robert Woods, I don't think he's like the worst play because I don't think that Xavier Rhodes is going to shadow him. But at the same time, I am concerned about the offense this week.
You know, I saw Scott Barrett. I think it was Scott Barrett on Pro Football Focus posted the players who have been guarded by the most top 30 cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. And Robert Woods was number 3 on that list. I couldn't believe it.
Amari Cooper was up there too, and that's what I'm saying. Teams view Amari Cooper as the best wide receiver on the Raiders. That's a real thing. But Tyreek Hill, I think that's definitely one of the wide receivers I was going to mention for a GPP play. The Giants run a lot of man coverage, and yeah, you can't cover Tyreek Hill in man coverage. It just can't happen.
Can't cover Janoris Jenkins either.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins he was a shutdown corner, and then he got suspended, and then he came back. And this is a Giants team that has been burned by the big play. Like, you've seen it in multiple weeks. You saw Robert Woods go for multiple big plays. You saw Sammy Watkins, and you saw Marquise Goodwin. Then you saw Garrett Celek, and all of these were with Janoris Jenkins. Like, last week, it was with Janoris Jenkins in the picture every time. So it was like, there's so much going on there. It's just Tyreek Hill's a good play, and Brandon Cooks again. Brandon Cooks, yeah. I think, can be used in cash and tournaments. So,
Doug, any other GPP plays?
Yeah. Yeah, one guy, top 9 most targets in the last 2 weeks is Davante Adams. Like, sometimes when you get a new quarterback that comes in and the quarterback starts to hone in on, this is my guy now, I think we have a pretty clear sample that Davante Adams is Hundley's guy. I mean, he still has Hundley throwing to him, so that's a problem, of course, but the targets are real, and he's actually been decent. The 67% completion rate or conversion rate over that time is actually one of the highest among that group. So, and red zone looks too. So he's in the middle tier in DraftKings, which is sometimes a weird spot to pay for because they're pricing against use so much that you usually end up going very cheap and then expensive. But Adams in that 5,500 or so range strikes me as a nice amount of targets for, you're not really breaking the bank for him.
All right, let's go running backs now. Why don't you go first with us, Doug?
You know, it's funny. I've been wrong every single week on the Baltimore running backs, and I feel like there is a case to be made for one of these two guys, and they just can't seem to. They're still coming very cheap, and they. I just don't know. I just wish I knew exactly what the plan was going in each week. I mean, look, everyone wants to know that, but Alex Collins does see carries. The weather's supposed to be a little bit bad there. It's supposed to be cold, so it could affect the passing game a little bit. I want to be able to. I think I'm probably going to end up trying to play one of the, or making the same lineups and then just working in Allen or Collins and thinking I'm going to get some upside if we can just get, like, if we can get Collins' 18 carries from the week before with a couple catches at 3,900. I don't mind it, and I fully understand that that they could just kind of flip the script and you could see Buck Allen getting more carries. But I think that the, I think there is some value in the Baltimore running game.
Yeah. With it being cold, I wouldn't be surprised if Alex Collins fumbles and then Buck Allen just takes over.
I don't think Buck Allen's going to play very much if Danny Woodhead's active.
Okay.
So, I mean, for me, I think Woodhead is going to play. I think that this has all been gamesmanship by the Ravens. He's been out a long time for an injury that shouldn't have taken this long, but yeah. Again, he's an older running back. He's coming off multiple lower leg injuries. We've talked about in the show before is that the Ravens just don't want to play Buck Allen. They don't want to play him. Like, the only reason they did is because they had to. And some people are lower on Collins and because of his performance before the bye against Tennessee, but don't take too much away from that, guys. Like, seriously, it wasn't a good matchup for him at all. And we talked about that here. So I do think that Collins is a much better play this week. And I honestly do think he's a better play than Buck Allen. I would try to avoid Buck Allen if all possible. I think that Collins is the, if you're trying to pick one, it would be Collins for me.
I've got three GPP guys I like. Kenyon Drake against Tampa, who's been horrible against the run lately. And Kenyon Drake, I think he's a fine running back. I know Miami kind of sucks, but, you know, I could see him having a big game. Joe Mixon, I can't believe I'm saying this again, but he's stupid cheap. He's going against Denver. Like, wouldn't this be the week that we see him just go nuts? He's going to be less than 1% owned, I think. So I'm going to get myself a few shares. Not especially excited about it, but there's a chance he goes off. And then Lamar Miller. I think Lamar Miller is just a fine running back.
Oh,
he could get two or three touchdowns, man.
Get out of here with your Lamar Miller. No, no, no. Don't play Lamar Miller, guys. Like, seriously, just don't do it. Lamar Miller is such a bad play this week. So bad. Like, Doug, could you back me up on this one that Lamar Miller should not be on the
radar? It's so funny because there's these classes of guys that I always want to play. And actually, Mixon is in that group, too. I played him multiple times in cash this year. It has not worked out. Because there's just, I'm like, I think I've said multiple weeks, this is the week for Joe Mixon. This is the week for Joe Mixon. There's just no week for Joe Mixon, really. He's just not very good. And they just can't really run the ball. The Lamar Miller one is interesting, too. I would be more inclined to play him if I knew that Foreman wasn't there at all, but he just worked himself more into the game, I think. And it's so hard to, it really is so hard to roster running backs on bad teams, which is why you see a lot of the same running back plays week after week after week, because it happens every week. If you're on a bad team, it's just so hard to be a good running back on a bad team. I don't know if it's chicken or the egg. Are they bad because the running back's bad, or is the running back bad because the team is bad? But that's the problem with both those guys, is their teams just suck. And it's just hard to be a good running back on a bad team, except for Jordan Howard. He's like the one guy that can kind of pull it off every once in a while.
The reason I went Miller is because, like, we see it from week to week. The guys who have big weeks as running backs are the guys who just happen to get two or three rushing touchdowns. And the way you get those rushing touchdowns is goal line carries and a bunch of carries overall. Miller slid to get both of those. There is a scenario where Miller has a big game. I do not think he's a good play, but because there's a scenario and he's going to be like 1% owned, I'm fine with you getting some exposure.
I think he'll be higher than 1% owned because his price is like...
You think so?
His price is down in the dumps. They brought it down his price a lot for this Arizona game. The concern is that I've talked about it before. Lamar Miller is a younger version of Frank Gore in fantasy football. And I say that because he's totaled between 63 and 96 yards. Total yards in 8 of 9 games this year. Like, that's very boring production. It's fine in a season-long league if you're looking for a running back to stuff in your lineup, but if you're looking for upside in a tournament, like, Lamar Miller doesn't have it. He's only scored in 2 games this year, and both those games were with Deshaun Watson on the field. They're not in scoring position to get those goal line carries. I'm with you in the fact that you want a running back who's going to get a lot of carries. He's going to get goal line carries. That's why Leonard Fournette is such a good play. Like, that team should be in scoring position a lot against the Browns. The game script is really good. We know he's talented. Lamar Miller has been losing carries. I want to say he played one of his lowest percentage of snaps last week, where Deontay Foreman was earning more and more carries. So I'm completely against Lamar Miller one. I think that you'd rather go down to like 4,300 and play Marshawn Lynch, because Lynch, at least, you know, it's a high scoring game. You know that the Patriots defense hasn't been the same. Hightower out for the year, Shea McClellan out for the year. They've allowed some big running games, like Melvin Gordon, who was playing on essentially one leg, ran for 130 yards and touchdown against them. So I think that he's more of someone that can get 2 goal line plunges and have like 12 carries for like 80 yards. I think that Lynch is someone I do think the Drake call was interesting at 4,800. And then Jordan Howard, nobody's mentioned him at 6,200. I think he should be in play. The game will be play in Chicago against Detroit, who's been really struggling without Haloti Ngata on the defensive line. So the Bears know they need to get back to the run. And Howard's the type of guy that's the type of guy who can score two touchdowns.
Yeah, I love Howard. They've shown that they will use him no matter whether they're winning or losing. And so there aren't many running backs that in the league that are like that, right? Like it's usually you have your catch up back and you have your run downhill back. He's kind of both backs. I know Cohen's been used less. The quarterback play is so bad there that they're just fine just running the ball and hoping that they can kind of keep the game close. So that's what I meant before about it. He's like the one running back on a bad team that I'd be willing to consider in that even butting up at the close to cash game range because of how they use them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, all the guys we've already mentioned for cash games, you can use those guys in GPP as well. Let's close out with quarterback here. There are two plays that I like here for GPP, at least. I don't like them, but for GPP, I could see them having big games. It's Jay Cutler and again, Eli Manning against Kansas City.
Well, they're cheap. I'm trying to think of another superlative to come up with. I mean, look, whenever you're going this level or kind of this price tier on a quarterback, you're just hoping that they're playing catch up for the end of the game and getting garbage time touchdowns. Manning is a king of garbage time touchdown. So I think from that standpoint, he has upside. And you just have to understand that you're rostering Jay Cutler and Eli Manning and kind of feeling okay with it because it's really hard
Cutler's
to come out with
Cutler's throwing 40 passes a week lately.
Yeah, they're still Jay Cutler passes. Actually, I take that back. He's not as bad. There is accuracy there, and he actually is getting he's getting enough usage in the red zone where they are throwing the ball when they're down and close when they get there that I probably would prefer Cutler. I definitely would prefer Cutler over Manning.
Okay. Tags, who's your guy?
Yeah, I'd prefer Cutler over Manning too. Drew Brees is a fantastic tournament play. Obviously we talked about this and the fact that I still believe in Brees, but Washington has allowed at least 23 fantasy points in four of the last six games. And that has included Case Keenum, Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, Alex Smith. So it's all different types of quarterbacks. The only ones who didn't were Brian Hoyer, who was benched for CJ Beathard in that game. And then it was Dak Prescott didn't, but that was the game that Zeke was going off for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
In division game.
And that's the thing. It's not to say that and that's not to say that Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara can't go off again and score, three touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. Not to say that can't happen. But I think that there's a realistic possibility that Drew Brees throws for 350 yards and three touchdowns in this game. And he's going to have lower ownership. And he's 6,800. So he's more expensive than Alex Smith. And like, that's why people will play Alex Smith and they'll play Tom Brady and why Brees will be lower owned. I think he's a fantastic tournament play. I also think Derek Carr at 6,400 is good. And the last one, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Dolphins. I mean, Cam Newton, guys. Cam Newton is not a good quarterback. Like, I'm sorry. He's not very good passing the football. I know he looked good on Monday night, but if you've watched him the entire season like I have, you would see that he has not been a very good quarterback. I love how people use his shoulder injury when he's playing bad and they say, oh, it must be the shoulder. And then he has a good game and it's like, oh, he's getting over his shoulder injury. It's like, where are we? He had the Detroit game where he looked really good back in like week 4 and he looked like crap for the next few weeks. It's who Cam Newton is, but against this Miami defense, a lot of players can look really good. And getting Mike Evans back, it's really going to help. DeSean Jackson is out there as the number two option, which he should be. Cameron Brain has a really good matchup. So Fitzpatrick, I think, as a last ditch tournament option isn't the worst.
You know who would be really good this week is Tyrod Taylor.
I don't even want to talk about him.
We can't use him though, man. All right, Doug, why don't you close us out here? Who do you like at quarterback for GPP?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind Cousins here. He's the highest implied total underdog, if that makes sense, right? So he's the underdog that is implied for the most points this week. And if you don't count the Dallas Eagles game, because that's on the Monday night, Sunday night. Cousins has big games in him. They can't run the ball. It stands to reason they're going to be behind. And of all the quarterbacks that are in underdog spots, I mean, you could probably, it's between him and between him and Carr as to who the only ones with like real legitimate talent are. And so when I'm looking for a team that's going to be playing catch up, that has weapons and we have big games out of him, I don't mind Cousins in the spot. He's not cheap, but he doesn't break the bank for you either. And I think he is going to be a spot where would it be shock you to have him throw 45 times this game? It wouldn't totally shock me. They're not going to be able to run the ball at all. So I think Cousins has a lot of upside.
He did last week, 45 pass attempts against Minnesota for 28 fantasy points. You see, he sneaks into the end zone with rushing touchdowns too. He's got 26, 28, 24, 28 fantasy points in four games this year. He's got some big game upside, man.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a really good one. I think you could do a game stack with that too. You could do Cousins, Thompson, and then stack on the other side. You could play like Michael Thomas or you could play Alvin Kamara. Like, there's so many people in that game that you like. Yeah, definitely. I like it.
All right, Doug. Well, that's all for today's show. We really appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you guys again soon.
Doug, it's our pleasure. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been sending in reviews on iTunes. We do read all those. We read all our emails at mailbag@fantasypros.com. And all your tweets, if we don't respond to them, I'm sorry. We just get so many tweets that we can't get to them all, but we get to as many as we possibly can. Thank you also to the sponsor of today's show, draft.com/pros. And we'll talk to you all next week. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.